can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and today the two films we're talking about are both Japanese animation films, and I saw the second one because I was going to see the first one, but I saw the first one just because I happened to see the trailer or whatever for it, and I find this is typically the case with Japanese animation films. I don't see too many, and I don't watch animated TV shows, but when I see the trailers for them, I usually have this interesting mix of a reaction of, huh, that looks interesting, and also I'm not sure what that's about at all. And so for this one, it looked sort of interesting, though I still didn't get what the story was, but I was entranced enough by the title, which is The Night is Short, Walk On Girl, that I was like, okay, is it about like living life to the fullest or something? I am totally down for that. Tell me what I should be doing with my life, because I'm always so terribly confused about that. But this is actually, as I think a number of Japanese animated films, at least the ones that like are popular enough to then, you know, get either subtitles or dubbed or whatever and brought to the West, is based off of a book. I saw they had a sort of interview with the director of the film afterwards in the showing I saw, in which he talks about it, but it's not clear if the book was like a graphic novel or if the book was like a novel itself. He just kept saying the book. So I'm like, so was this based off of like a manga, or is this just a story that you then put into animation because reasons? There's clearly a sort of a different cultural understanding in Japan regarding animation than you usually see in America. It's not very strange for, like, you know, adults to read mangas there, whereas in America, an adult reading a graphic novel is now a bit more accepted as we're getting, you know, to, I don't want to say nerd culture, but things that used to just be considered nerdy are now being much more accepted just overall. Now for an adult to be reading a graphic novel on like the bus or whatever, rather than, oh, that's a nerd, you could almost equally have the reaction of, oh, that person might be into the cool stuff that hasn't yet become mainstream. I should check out what they're reading so I can also be cool before it's, you know, too annoying to be cool, hip to be square. It's not clear whether this was a manga or not, but it's very interesting. I wanted to see the book after watching the movie. I wanted to try and read it. And unfortunately, my library system just doesn't have it. And I can't get it, unfortunately. So that's sad. But this is... It was a bit confusing for me at first because I didn't really know anything about it from the trailer. I didn't look up like the synopsis of it before watching it. I was just like, that looks kind of interesting, though I don't get the story, but the title is enough that I want to check it out. So evidently, this is the case where the girl, whose name I've actually forgotten, though she keeps often being referred to as an otome in the book, she likes drinking. Evidently, she likes alcohol. And decides on this night where she and a group of friends are celebrating like their friend's engagement or marriage, one of the two, their senpai's marriage, decides, you know what, I don't want to do it in this polite, surrounded by everybody way. I want to drink the way I want to drink. And so once this party's sort of over, decides to go off on this sort of drinking adventure in the night, which turns into what must be the longest night ever, because she gets into so many adventures. There's a whole thing about drinking, but then there's this whole thing about like a book market, but then there's this whole thing about the school festival. I'm like, I feel that this night should have ended like several hours ago, even though, you know, this is not even like a 2-hour movie, but it feels like this night that you're living through is like several nights. And we just skip the daytime somehow. We hit fast forward and we skip them. We continued on. The night seems to go on forever. And that's actually mentioned a number of times in the movie. There are things that characters say, like, we lived all four seasons in a night, or the night that was as long as a year. Like, even they realize, wow, yeah, that night felt really long. We were able to do a whole lot of things in what's supposed to be just one night. So the idea of the title, The Night is Short, Walk On Girl, it's like, I mean, she is walking around a lot, but The Night is Short feels a bit like a misnomer. It's like you're, you know, encouraging her to go out and do things because, hey, the night is short, life is short. But this night in particular does not actually seem that short. So she decides that she wants to go off and go on her drinking adventure. She likes alcohol. She likes the way it tastes. She likes the way it feels, but she's not like an alcoholic. So she wants to go off and go drinking. But there is a senpai, which is the Japanese word for senior. I'm going to use senior, and not senior like older person, but senior like someone who's more senior than you at your school or in your company. So you address them, because Japan has a bit of a hierarchy system. You address them as senpai and not just as their name the way you would do in America. She has a senpai who actually really likes her, but is too shy to just tell her so. And so he has, with his friends, created what's translated as Operation AHO, which AHO stands for Appear Before Her Often. So I'm not sure that it should be AHO, but that's their idea of, for her to notice the senpai has arranged it so that he just constantly keeps showing up wherever she is. And then they have this conversation of, oh, what a coincidence you're here. And he's like, oh, it's by chance. Coincidence, chance, coincidence, chance. I feel there must be something kind of lost in that translation, because I'm like, I'm not quite sure I'm getting why you're arguing over those terms. Maybe they translate slightly differently than the person who's done the subtitles. But he really likes her, so when he sees her go off on her drinking adventure, he tries to follow her, but doesn't quite manage it as successfully. And so he also has his whole set of adventures during this night, trying to get to this girl, trying to get this girl to notice him, but going through his own, unfortunately, misfortunes for a good portion of the night. It's very interesting. The people in this movie are very interesting, and the fact that the things that make them interesting are just sort of accepted. It's just sort of a go-along-with-it feel for a lot of this night, which, on the one hand, this night is so interesting that if it were ever to happen to me, I'd be like, this is strange enough and fascinating enough, I kind of do just want to like go along and see where this night takes me. But on the other hand, I feel like I'd be doing it with like my mouth open half the time, because I'm just like, what? What is going on? At some point, she at one bar comes across this guy who is upset about his daughter, and she's trying to comfort him, but then he like grabs her breasts. So she punches him. And as she does that, she meets two people who then lead her on this drinking adventure to different places. They come across a group of the Sophist Club or something, which has its own dance, which is hilarious. I love the Sophist dance. And then they come across this group of like older seniors who are, I can't even remember if they're having a retirement party or something. And everyone, they're in, I think, Kyoto or near Kyoto, but wherever they are, everyone in this little town seems very connected. It's like a 6 degrees of separation sort of thing. Like the father who's crying about his daughter, that daughter actually ends up being the senpai who's getting married where we start. And then he owes money to this other person who has this alcohol that the girl wants to drink. It's like you start seeing all these dots connecting the various stories. Everyone's connected. It makes for this really interesting, long, round hour. Almost back where we started, but not quite night. The senpai also has two friends whose names I cannot even remember. One of them is called Don Underpants because he met a girl about a year ago at the school festival. He doesn't know her name, but he fell in love immediately. And so he's decided not to change his underpants until he meets this girl again. And so they call him Don Underpants. And then his other friend is the, like, school festival official, the person in charge or something of making sure, you know, that the rules are followed or something as the school festival is being put on. But he also likes cross-dressing for reasons, just because reasons. And it's just like, and nobody's going to think anything of this. Okay, go on, move on. The school festival officials are also, they've taken over the library police building, which I didn't even know there was such a thing, but where are the library police in my state and how can I join? Because that actually looks kind of interesting. There's also this thing called the Bedroom Investigation Committee, which is like, as best I can describe it, a group of perverted men who like trade erotic prints with each other, as you do. I don't even know if you can call him the antagonist, because again, everyone's sort of connected, but he's somewhat of an antagonist for a number of characters. Rihaku has a water train. I think it's a train, but it seems to be like in a canal, like a boat, and it's multiple stories, and that just looks fascinating. And I'm like, I feel you could do like a whole, like, your own version of like Miyazaki's Spirited Away on that train. It's got multiple levels, and like it's really big, even though it doesn't seem like that should be possible to move as a train. So you do follow this girl as she goes first on this drinking parade to try and find Rihaku to challenge him to a drinking competition. And then after that goes to a night used book market, in which there is a night used book market god, because there are gods of book markets. And again, where is mine and why have I never met the book market god? Because I feel we could have some interesting conversations about books. And then there's this whole thing with the school festival, which involves a guerrilla play musical thing where people come and very quickly set up this like raised stage to put on this play about it's not the Count of Monte Cristo, but it's somewhat similar. Well, they use the name, but it's really this strange musical asking where I think it's the Kudger of Monte Cristo is, because his princess lover is looking for him. It's all sorts of strangeness on this night that, again, I'm just like, I'd want to go along just because this looks fascinating. And watching it, at first, I'm just like, is this like a thing for like super, super fans? Because the previews for this kept being like the American distributors of the Miyazaki films on DVD, whose name I can't recall. And then like various things that only like real Japanese animation fans would know about. And I'm just like, am I going to get anything in this film? Because I'm really not a Japanese animation fan whatsoever. You do, actually. It's very easy to follow once you have, you know, the English subtitles or whatever. There are some things that, at least the version I saw, didn't bother to translate at all. So I don't quite know what they are. These are words like otome, which I think just means maiden or something. And so they keep referring to the girl, the main character. Various characters talk about, oh, that otome is coming, or oh, that otome went wherever. And I'm like, okay, just don't give me the translation for that, fine. But then you also get words like tengu or daruma, which is a thing. I want to say it's like the Japanese temple stone thing, but it also kind of somewhat reminds me of Russian nesting dolls, except we never see that it's nesting anything. We just see various sizes of it, but it's a small painted round thing that keeps getting traded off around people in the film, because again, everyone's interconnected. And for the most part, it does seem, save for this night that goes on forever, it does seem somewhat realistic, if also way more interesting a night than any night I've ever had. There's nothing that seems too much like, you know, oh, superheroes and magic powers whatsoever, just a bit drawn interesting because it is animation. So like when they do the sophist dance, I don't know that most human beings could, you know, put their body in that position and move that way, but it's an animation, so go along with it. Or there's a point where they have a like spicy food eating competition and all the characters are drawn with these like really big red lips, and then like obviously that's an animation, it's supposed to be exaggerated, but I get where you're going there. There's nothing that seems too sort of unnatural, magical, whatever, until the end, which involves this cold, windy night when everyone's come down with the cold. And then clearly there, we're getting some sort of metaphor of things between the girl, the Otome, and her senpai, and his feelings for her that he's never really told her, and something's going on metaphorically there. But that part near the end was where, that was the only part that really sort of lost me. I'm like, I feel you're trying to say something here, but I don't quite know what it is. And I'd much rather get back to the everything is connected thing that you've been talking about previously, where you talk about people being connected, and there's a whole thing about how all books are connected, and clearly with this everyone is connected in the story thing, I'm like, I'm getting that, and I kind of followed that. I don't know what's going on with all these various shadow versions of the senpai, and which one's supposed to be the real senpai, and what's with the strange toy cowboy, and where did he come from? But overall, I thought this was a really enjoyable film. I really liked it. Again, I wanted to read the book, and just sadly, my library doesn't have it. But I think if you can find it, I know it was released in Japan last year, so it took, you know, a while to get here because you have to wait for the translation, whatever. I think it should, if it's not already out now, should be out soon on DVD with English subtitles or dubbing. I think it's definitely one to check out just as a sort of fun, that is an interesting night, in the same way like Ferris Bueller's Day was ridiculously long. That's not exactly how you would do one day skipping school. This is not exactly one night, but it's the most fascinating night that I kind of get, kind of don't get, but want to almost go along for the ride just because it's so fascinating. But also, you know, an interesting look, I think, at not exactly Japanese culture, period. There's not too much of the sort of, oh, this is foreign enough that we wouldn't get it, save for the few words. Most of the things are still modern, so it's just, oh, hey, we're going out drinking. Okay, cool. 20-somethings do that all over the world. There's some mentions, there are some people in more traditional clothing. There's a mention of a Japanese table, which I've forgotten the name of, but I only know because I've seen like one other Japanese animated thing that talked about that table. So overall, it's like modern Japan. Some things you wouldn't notice. I mean, some things you wouldn't recognize, most things you would, but a very interesting, both adventure-filled night, that's also sometimes somewhat talking philosophically about the way people and things are interconnected. So I quite liked it. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts television podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts television podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Movie Podcast. Our second film today in this Japanese animated movie episode is Cowboy Bebop, the movie. Whereas the first film, The Night is Short, Walk-On Girl, was based off of a book and I think not a TV show, Cowboy Bebop is actually based off of a TV show. And I had heard of the name Cowboy Bebop. It was one of those things, you know, one of those Japanese animated things that I've heard of but never seen. And so I didn't really know too much about it going in other than like, this is something I've heard of. This is something, you know, fans of Japanese animation have seen. I later looked it up. It seems like it was only one season of like 12 or something episodes, but it was very critically acclaimed because it was dealing with a number, again, of sort of philosophical topics about like reality and life and death and why do we exist and ennui. And it it was considered a, not a classic per se, but like one of the best sort of Japanese animated films. And it was translated, obviously, into English, and American audiences could see it. And then there was this movie, which I'm not sure too much how it ties in to the TV show. It does seem to be, you know, pretty much the same characters in the same setting, but I don't know that the storyline is drawn from anything particularly in the TV show, but it is still dealing with a number of those themes of, you know, why are we here? Why do we exist? What is the real world? Is the world I imagine the real world or this one? Which one's better? Etc. So this is set supposedly in 2071 on Mars, except the Mars in this film seems a lot like Earth. If, you know, you could sort of pick and choose places from Earth. There are times where it seems like they're in, you know, a sort of New York area, New York City area. But then there's a place called Moroccan Street, which really does seem sort of Middle East. It seems like they sort of picked and chose different locations from Earth, but then that's it. And all the people there, I assume, speak the same language. When we start the movie, they're at like a convenience store, and the sign on the convenience store seems to be written in Japanese. And I watched it with the subtitles on, so they were still speaking in Japanese, but it had English subtitles. But you do get a mix of the cast. There's, you know, Asian people and Caucasian people and African-American or African Marsian people. So you do get this sort of, you know, racially diverse population on Mars, but they're all speaking whatever language. They can all understand each other. So it's not clear exactly what the rules of this world are. There are flying ships, but then there are still regular cars. And there's like a subway, but instead of being on tracks, it's hanging from tracks, the monorail or whatever. And I'm just like, I get it. It's slightly strange enough that I can see why I think Cowboy Bebop, the TV show, started in, I want to say the 80s, but it may have been the 90s. But certainly technologically wise, I can see why, you know, oh, only about 100 years or so later, they think, ah, yes, we've progressed this way. Whereas, you know, being at the benefit of being in 2018, I can see that's, you know, no. There's some things you've jumped to, like living on Mars and evidently living in possibly multiple planets. There is at one point a mention of all the bounty hunters in the solar system. So clearly we seem to be on more planets than just Earth and Mars, but we don't really get those mentions. But then other times where they're like, you know, the cell phones they use would be considered, you know, not even high tech now, never mind for 2071. So it's like, what you thought we'd be to back in your time? I can tell this was made a little while ago, because where you thought we'd progress to is a little, but we've totally passed that already, sort of thing. But so anyways, this is about a group of bounty hunters who their ship is called Bebop. And it seems that the term cowboy is used, if not for bounty hunters themselves specifically, sort of for people kind of living not on the edge of society per se, but not necessarily according to society's rules. And so I guess that's where the term comes from, Cowboy Bebop. The bounty hunters are Spike, Faye, Jet, and Ed, except Ed is not so much a bounty hunter. Ed is a whole host of I would like to see the TV show almost just to figure out what the heck is going on with Ed. Ed is actually, it seems, a young girl, though that's not clear even to me watching it until at least like a third of the way through. And she's a hacker or something, and she lives on the ship with Bebop, but it doesn't seem she goes out bounty hunting herself, whereas Spike, Faye, and Jet are all themselves bounty hunters and go out and actually, you know, physically bring in the people with bounties on them. But they've not had the best of luck. They don't have a lot of money, so they're constantly eating like cup of noodles for dinner. They don't have meat. And Faye is looking for a bounty for a hacker, but while looking for this hacker, comes across this person who blows up a tanker on the freeway, and that seems to be some sort of biochemical weapon, because then all the people who were around get really sick. But the doctors can't quite figure out what it is and what's happening here. They've never quite seen anything like it. And so this leads them, there's a bounty put out for the person who blew up this tanker of like the bounty that Spike and Jet started with is like 1.25 million. And I think the bounty for this guy is like 300 million or something. So they're like, oh, hey, we have to go after that because we want to stop eating cup ramen. So while they're doing this, they discover a whole host of things. Both Faye and Spike and Jet's bounties kind of tie in together. They discover that there's this man, Vincent, who is the bad guy. And they discover this because he's got a tattoo on his hand and Faye sees it. And he is supposed to be dead. He's a former soldier and his record actually has him like dying 2 years ago. So right away, it's like clearly something's going on here. And there's this thing about nanomachines and he has a plan to release nanomachines because he's possibly gone a little crazy. But he has an ex-former soldier person, buddy, lover, it's not quite clear, named Elektra, who still works for the, I'm going to call it the company, who wants to track Vincent down, not to kill him, even though that's kind of her orders are, you know, to sort of stop him and kill him because he's dangerous and he'll reveal, you know, the company's nefarious doings that nobody's supposed to know about because it's not legal and or ethical. She meets up with Spike because he's searching for Vincent, though he doesn't quite know it. She wants to find Vincent, but to protect him. And there becomes this connection between all of them of trying to find Vincent and figuring out what he's doing and stop him before he can release all these nanomachines, which will generally kill people. So there's a lot of, I will say it feels, I don't know if I can say it, typical Japanese animation because that's not descriptive at all and there probably isn't really. I do remember when I was looking up something that there, at least from mangas, tend to have certain sort of styles where, you know, mangas that are aimed at like young and teenage boys are drawn a bit different style than mangas that are aimed at young teenage girls. And there are words for those like shoujo, shoujo and shounen. And I apologize, actual Japanese animation and manga fans who are just like, it's this, it's pronounced this. I'm not a big fan of that. So I'm confusing them and not sure which one's which. This clearly seems a bit more drawn towards the boys. So for example, Faye is a female bounty hunter and I have no idea. Spike and Jet and all the guys when they walk around seem pretty normally dressed. And even Elektra, even if, you know, the way Elektra's drawn with her clothing style seems a bit like 80s and 90s with the, like, you know, very tight clothes and pants and boots. But then you've got the sort of bulky, almost shoulder pad jacket. Faye has on a very interesting outfit, especially considering that she's going out in this outfit to, like, track down people who are most likely going to run from her and also possibly shoot back at her. She has on short shorts that have, I cannot tell if these are supposed to be suspenders or a really strange like 1980s sort of thong thing, the way if you look at like 1980s workout wear where they had the leotards over the tights, but the leotards were thong, sort of like that. And then like a short top, but then also a, she's like just very, I won't say provocatively dressed, but that's not the outfit I can imagine any real like female bounty hunter actually going out and trying to capture people in, unless she was, you know, sort of going undercover and wanting them to think that she's like an exotic dancer or a hooker or something. And just when we first come across Faye and see her in her full outfit, I'm just like, that's what you wear to go bounty hunting? And because this is an animation, the characters generally stay in the same outfit, even though, you know, days pass and things happen. It's like, we don't really, this is your character. This is what your character looks like. We're just going to keep those same amount of clothes. So Elektra's always in the same outfit. Faye's always in the same outfit. Spike's always in the same outfit. Even though you do assume, of course, they've got other clothes, but it's a cartoon. So we just always draw them the same. I'm just like, why are you running around in that? And again, this feels a bit more aimed at guys than girls. So there does seem to be a bit of a playing up of Faye's sexiness for that. But it didn't feel too bad with the way the women are treated, especially Elektra still feels very capable. There's a very interesting scene where she and Spike get into a fight that I was like, that's actually pretty cool. I'd almost like to see, like, I don't know, please stop with the let's having to, you know, make live action remakes of everything. But I'd actually like to see how you would do that in a live action film because that fight scene was great. The metaphysical, philosophical, what have you stuff in this. It's not too heavy. It mostly comes up with Vincent. You do sort of get it a bit with Spike, particularly when Spike is hunting down info with Vincent. There is a guy he talks to in Morocco Street. They have a talk amongst other things about beans, but they're clearly talking, you know, not about beans themselves specifically. We're sort of using this metaphorical. It does come up a bit more at the end when we finally do get sort of the final showdown. And as generally happens with movies like this where I've seen them, I feel at the end like, okay, I get kind of what we were talking about. I don't get what the filmmaker's saying about it. Do you have a conclusion on this conversation that people have been having for centuries? Do you have any idea about, you know, what life is about? What's the point of all this? What is reality? Or are we just going to bring up the conversation and bring up questions and not answer them and then the movie ends? Okay, great. And I liked it well enough to kind of want to check out the TV show, especially since the TV show was not like, you know, 8 seasons or whatever, where I'd be like, yeah, that's too much. I don't have time for this. I have other stuff to do. The fact that it was, you know, the one season that was very well accepted and critically acclaimed, I'm like, yes, that. Where is that? And how can I find that? I want to learn out more about this. So for both films today, I quite like it. I want to learn more about the source material and just not necessarily being able to access them because still, you know, foreign and all the wonderful funness that comes along with trying to watch and or learn more about foreign things. So much fun. But that will do it for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Movie Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.